Hi, everybody, and welcome back to God's Learning Channel, and welcome back to our show, Light of the Southwest. Holly and I are so excited to have you joining us today. Remember that we are streaming on YouTube, so please, if you haven't already, like and subscribe the channel. Make sure that when you actually subscribe, what happens is that you will get a notification when a new episode comes out, and we just don't want you to miss anything that's coming. We have such an exciting program for you today. So, Holly.
Thank you all so much for joining us. Shalom. We're so blessed and honored to be here today. The Father orchestrates our footsteps in beautiful and unexpected ways. And at the close of Sukkot, here we are today visiting with very special guests, Rise of Fire Ministries, the Vander Vesthuizen. Thank you so much for joining us today. We have Petey and Christina Vander Vesthuizen. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much, guys, for having us. It's such an honor to be here with you. Yes. And all the way from, we're from Chattanooga, Tennessee, and now we're all the way here in Texas with you.
Wow, joining us in studio. Thank you.
Yeah. Honor to be here. It's very special.
Petey, did we get the name of your ministry right?
Rise on Fire Ministries.
Rise on Fire Ministries. And I guess just take a minute. Tell us, like, if somebody wants to take a look at your ministry, do you have a website? Tell us your website, and then we'll open us in prayer, if you could.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you can find out more about us on riseonfire.com. And we also have a YouTube channel where we're putting out multiple videos every week. You can just find us at Rise on Fire on YouTube. So yes, I'd love to open in prayer for us here.
Thank you.
Father, I just thank you so much for just this time we can spend together, Lord, to just speak about you, your Holy Spirit, your truth. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you would come and everyone who's listening, every heart is listening, and you would prepare their hearts for the message that you have for them here today. Lord, let it be freedom unto them in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Wow. So we all just finished keeping Sukkot. It was so amazing to see the wonderful things in the Torah and in the feast. You yourself are a Torah observant Christians. Is that right?
Yes. We love Yeshua, right, Jesus, and we also see the beauty that he has given us in his biblical feast days. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, we absolutely love celebrating them, always keeping him at the forefront and seeing
Amen.
Him.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
Right. That's right. It's more than just a tradition and food. It is Messiah. Yes. And he's wanting, ultimately, to teach us through his word, through the experience. He reveals more. I know he's revealed and downloaded a lot to you. And so we're just so excited to see what the Lord is doing through you and your wife and your ministry, and what the message he's laid on your heart for our audience. I can tell when we were just kind of talking, I can feel the love and the spirit that he has and with you and your wife, and it's cool to see the youthfulness and the fire that you have. You guys do a ministry to children too?
Yeah, our focus is pretty wide because I think the message, and I think we're about to get into it, but the message the Father's really put on our heart, I think, is really for this time, and it's for all people, young and old, because what is the prophecy that's been given for that end times? In Acts chapter 2, he says, old men, young men, daughters, sons, right? They are going to prophesy. They are going to have dreams. They're going to have visions. The Holy Spirit is going to move upon all. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we're looking forward to seeing the Father do in this time.
Awesome.
Amen. So Amen. Before we get to the heart of it, can we get a little background on you and your ministry? What, maybe your testimony? I would love to hear a brief testimony from both of you.
I can share briefly first.
Wonderful.
So I grew up in a normal church up until about age 7. And then one day my mom was reading Leviticus 23. And she came across these festivals and she asked the Father, can I keep these Jewish feasts too? You know, we thought they were only limited to those who were Jewish, but the father said, no, these are my appointed times. And they all point to my son. And so we started our journey of how do we keep these? So we found a Messianic synagogue, and I attended there for a number of years. I had my bat mitzvah there. I learned Hebrew, Hebraic dance. It was a wonderful time. And we learned about the Shabbat and all these beautiful aspects of his Torah, our father's Torah that points to Yeshua. And of course, I continued growing and learning. But there was something that I hadn't quite yet seen, and that was the book of Acts. There's these things that are talked about, the people who are being prayed over, and they're getting healed, and the life of Yeshua in that way. I hadn't quite fully seen that side, but that's where my husband can pop in with that.
Yeah. I grew up Dutch Reformed in South Africa, hence the strange accent. As I was there, I grew up, learning about Jesus, being introduced. I was at that privilege to know about him early. But then I cried out to the Father because I saw all these denominations around me. And I was just a young boy, and I asked that simple question of, well, Father, which way do I go? Like, how do I know which one is the right path? And then he came to me and said, Petey, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. And so I just focused all my attention on him, not necessarily just on not on a church or a denomination, but on him and looking at him for who he is. Mm. And I started seeing things that he did. Mm. And some of what she just mentioned, he kept the Sabbath day holy. Mm. And he healed people on it. He made it a point to make it a day of freedom. Mm. So it was a beautiful thing for him. And, the feast days, he went to the feast days. He celebrated the feast days. We see Paul do that as well later. Mm. So I started, my family, we started discovering all these as the Father reveals it. And I grow, and ultimately, I come to a similar place where she was. And I'm reading the book of Acts, and I'm reading about not just what Jesus did, right? But I'm reading about what his disciples continued to do and what the early church did. And really, if you think about it, the thing that made that early church ministry so revolutionary, flipping the whole world upside down. And that was the Holy Spirit. That was the one that Yeshua said, it's good that I go so I may send the Holy Spirit to empower you, clothe you with power from on high, so that you can do the things I have done and greater things than these. Mm-hmm. So that's what I started seeing and crying out for. Mm.
I think to reiterate the feast days that Yeshua kept them, the disciples kept them. You talk about the Holy Spirit, and for those who aren't familiar, that Shavuot is a very specific feast day that believers were commanded to go to Jerusalem to observe. So when Yeshua told his disciples to go to Jerusalem, and 10 days later he would send the Helper, they were going in fulfillment of what the Torah said to go for Shavuot, and they were obeying what Yeshua said as well. And so when the Holy Spirit comes down on Shavuot, it's a fulfillment of that feast day that for all of those years prior, Israel was rehearsing the giving of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, I've heard it said, hey, did you know that the first Pentecostals are all Jewish? And I was like, hey, this is an interesting point. Never thought about that before, but yeah, that is so cool. It is amazing to watch Yeshua and his disciples and the healing that comes forth through the Spirit. And what you're trying to say is this is today, now, and are you walking in it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Are you walking in the Spirit?
Absolutely. And I think that's what a lot of people are wrestling with. They're saying, is this something in the past? Is this something for the future?
Mm-hmm.
Or is this
mm-hmm.
something for now?
Mm-hmm.
And if we have come to the conclusion that we always talk about the end time, we love that. And, look at the world. Look at what's happening in Israel even now. Let's pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Amen.
Yes.
But as we talk about the end is near and his coming is near, then we should be seeing what he said would happen in the end. And one of those things is the Acts 2 Shavuot prophecy that Peter quotes from Joel, that he is going to be doing miracles through his people.
Mm.
So we should be looking for that sign of the end times.
Amen.
And not just looking for it, but seeing, what role do I play in that?
How can I take part?
Right.
Right.
Right. Right. I've seen, like, in the end times, they say there's going to be this rise of the persecution on the church. Mm-hmm. And I think we look and we think, oh, well, that's not really happening. In the Western mindset, we feel like it's not here. Yeah. But we see persecution rising, the persecuted church all over the world. Mm-hmm. It's happening now.
Yes.
And so the Spirit is happening now also. As we see evil rise, holiness must rise to combat it, right? And we see evil at it's so bad, PD. Like, yes. Television, they're after our children. They're after our minds. It's coming to you through the phone. And how does the Spirit rise to beat this thing? And you're seeing some amazing things. Tell us more.
I'll pick up like where I kind of left off with my mm-hmm. story there, because mm-hmm. I, as a young man studying at the University of Pretoria in South Africa, I'm there and I'm thinking, God, I don't see anyone around me mm-hmm. walking out what I see in the Bible, like in the book of Acts. And I'm like, but God, I need to see this because I believe the word is true for me today. Mm-hmm. And so I'm praying and God gives me a dream and he shows me, I'm standing in the streets of Jerusalem and there's a man, a little boy who's with me. And I'm showing him to pray for this little girl, and she gets healed on her shoulder, mm-hmm. brings her Jewish mom, and I'm sharing with the Jewish mom, this was Yeshua who did this. And I wake up, and I'm like, I've never seen that. That's strange to me. And I pray and fast about it, because I feel like Father's showing me something. The next weekend, I'm sitting at home, working, and the Father, I just hear, well, here, I have a thought. I think it's my own, but it's, go to Hatfield Square, there's someone you need to meet. And I'm like, what? Why am I thinking this? And it doesn't leave me, right? And I get in my car. I drive. I'm shaking my head. I get out of my car. I'm opening the door. And there's a man who walks right up to me. And he says to me, you know, he's homeless. He's struggling. He starts telling me his story. And all I can see is his shoulder. And there's nothing wrong, like, with his shoulder. It's not hanging. It's not weird. But there's something that's just attracting me to his shoulder. That's all how I could explain it. And he's talking. I'm like, hold on, sir. Is there anything wrong with your shoulder? And he looks at me for a moment strange, and he says, yeah, I can't lift it like past year. It hurts me so much. And I'm like, and in a moment, I'm like, okay, what's going on? And something just slips out of my mouth, and I say, I believe that Jesus is going to heal you right now. Can I pray for you? And I'm shy. I was really a shy person, afraid of people. So this was huge. My heart's beating, and I just lay my hand on his shoulder, and I say, in the name of Yeshua, in the name of Jesus, I command the shoulder be made whole now. Amen. With that authority that we see him pray in the scriptures with and his disciples pray with, I see that and I pray that way. And suddenly I ask him, can you just feel? And so he lifts his arm and he says, he's very careful. He says, it doesn't hurt anymore. Like, and I'm like, are you sure?
Right. Are you sure?
Is this real? And then he turns around, he runs, and he brings his other friend who's got a leg issue, and he says, pray for my friend's leg. Mm. And so I pray for his leg, and the Father heals his leg.
Hallelujah.
And I'm like, and this is, I've never seen any of this before. I'm just a kid. I'm not anything, but I cried out for him to use me. And that's what he did. And that changed my life.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
Yeah. Wow.
You said yes. the power of God, if you can say yes.
Yes, and I think Psalm 37 talks about delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Amen. I used to look at that as, oh, the things I want, if I just trust in him, he'll give me those things. But now I see it completely different, that he, as I delight myself in him, he puts desires in my heart that he will fulfill. And this desire he put in your heart to see him, he was waiting for you to voice that so that he could fulfill that. How beautiful.
What was important is what the Father spoke to you in the car afterwards.
Yes. Well, on the way home, I'm crying myself home at this point because I can't believe it. And the Holy Spirit, I could just explain from that's the first time, like, really, I could say I heard him. And he said to me, Petey, this is not about you. Mm. This is for my bride, and I desire for her to walk in it. And so the message is that that story even is not really about me. It's about us. It's about the body and how God desires to call us into the spiritual gifts of the Spirit that he wants to use us in.
Because it's all part of the Great Commission. We know Yeshua's final last words, you can say, were go out into all the world, make disciples, baptize, right? And we know when he comes back, what's the first thing he's going to ask? Have you been doing this? Mm-hmm. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, walking in the Holy Spirit as Yeshua did, that is paramount to being able to fulfill this Great Commission.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know Yeshua tells so many parables and, you know, the master who leaves and what are they doing while he's gone? And it's like, yeah, I know we get distracted and we get focused on the negative. We lose hope. I myself have struggled with depression at times, and it's just about stop being in your own head and start following me, say yes. And that voice, when you said, you know, there's this voice and it just told you to go do this, and you're like, what? I've had this voice. We were young, and if I can tell you just a quick story about what I've experienced. So the Lord was like, hey, you're gonna go on this missions trip. It leaves on Friday and it's Monday. Like, kind of a deal, right? And like, I go to the pastor, I said, hey, the Lord told me I'm supposed to go on this missions trip. And he's like, well, how are you, we've been raising money for months to send each one. If you can come up with the money by Friday, I guess you can go, right? And that was the first struggle, is look past the hurdle and just believe, say yes, and go do it, right? And he provided the money. And then the next hurdle was, I'm in the military, how do I get the time off to go? And so I went to my base commander. My base commander says, oh, there's this humanitarian effort. You can go, and I'm not going to give you, you don't have to use any of the leave, or have to use any of my personal leave. He's going to give it to me to go off on this mission. So he answers that prayer. And we get there, and there's a series of other struggles that go along with this, but there's a man that I meet, and the Lord says, go pray for the healing of this man who is blind.
Wow.
I'm telling you, I struggled as soon as I heard the voice, because I'm like, I don't want to. My flesh doesn't want to go do that. And I don't want to be... I don't want anyone to think that, that I can do this, which I can't. Right. I'm like, this voice is telling me, go do it. And it's not a voice. It's the Holy Spirit. And he's saying, you've trusted me this far. Can you do it a little bit more? I went around. I was with 15 other people. I said, do it. The Lord's asked me to go pray for the restoration of this man's sight. Will you go with me? Mm-hmm. And then nobody wanted to help. Nobody wanted to go with me because they weren't called. I was called. And I can't pass that on. Mm-hmm. I think maybe we all are called, but if you don't step up, who's going to do it?
He's giving you a gift of faith in that moment.
Yeah.
You need
to
obey that voice.
Amen. That's right.
God is saying, who will go? Who will I send? Will you say, Hanani, here I am. Send me. I will go.
Yeah, I will go. I finally obeyed and prayed for this man. And nothing immediately happened in my experience. But I felt a sense of peace, at least that I did it, right? The voice gave me a sense of peace. And I was like, I did it, Father. And the man lived in a canyon. He was a Tarahumara Indian, and he lived inside of a canyon in a cave. And so he walked off that night into the dark. He's blind. He knows where he's going, and he knows where he lives. But it was like 2 a.m. in the morning. I get woken up. 15 flashlights in my face going, Eric, wake up, wake up, wake up. And the flashlights pan, and there's the man. His name was Cornelio. And Cornelio was there. His eyes were clear. Oh, he could see. And he was looking at me with tears. And we said, glory to God, gloria a Dios. And I saw a man with his blind eyes be healed. And just like he said, you know, you will do these things and greater. And we know Yeshua healed the blind. And just to see that that power is with us today.
Yes.
If you can obey.
Yes.
And I don't know what he's calling you to do. I know he's talking to you. And we ignore it. And if you haven't learned to tune into that voice, how do you teach? What do you tell people to tune into that voice? I don't know.
Yeah. You know, what I would encourage people to do is really go and look at the spiritual gifts, because, you know, we've talked about healing now, but that's just one.
That's one.
Mm. And the body, there are many gifts that the Father wants to use us in. And so, you know, there's a gift of healing, right? There's a gift of prophecy. There's words of knowledge. Like Yeshua spoke to that Samaritan woman about all the husbands that she's had, and he wasn't supposed to know that, and it opened his doors. And you've got the gift of wisdom, right? You've got the gift of discernment. You know, there are people who are called to really cast out demons like Philip did in Samaria as he went there. You know, and so whatever it is that the Father calls us to, you know, we should look at those, that list that the Father gives us in the scriptures and be like, Father, where do you call me? What is the first gift that I can really pursue and pray about it? And that desire, like you said earlier, it says in the scriptures, the carnal mind is at enmity with the Spirit. So when we desire a spiritual gift, that is the Spirit in us, Holy Spirit in us, that desires that.
Yes.
And so we should then pursue that, because the Father desires to give it. But I think a lot of people, they're waiting. Mm. And they're really going to be waiting forever until they step out, because faith means doing something. It's not just believing, you know, in my mind, but it's doing, acting on that belief. Mm. And so if you feel like I want to see the sick healed, then go and pray for, find sick people to pray for. You know, if you feel like you want to have give words of knowledge to people, well then go and start praying and asking the Father for words.
Yes.
And when you feel like he's giving something to you, go and give it. And remember, and this is the one last thing I'll say, is many people think about the Holy Spirit and gifts that he wants to use us in as something that just like comes upon us and we're like mature. And we're like perfect in it, but it's something we have to grow in, just like anything in the world. We learn to recognize his voice more and more. We learn to step into greater aspects of faith more and more, you know. And so when we go in humility, like you did, you know, great humility, and you walk it out in humility, then there's so much grace. And so even if we make a mistake in that learning process, which we will make mistakes in, then the Father picks us up with that grace, and we then let me ask you this: how will you know what his voice doesn't sound like if you've never made a mistake, right? Like if you've never acted on something that you thought was his voice, but it actually was yours, and you got it wrong, then you can be like, "Wow, God, that's what your voice doesn't sound like," and that's valuable.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Actually valuable,
because
then the next time it's like, "Well, that's what his voice doesn't sound like, but now I'm a little closer to what it does sound like." Because I can't teach you, like you can't teach me, what his voice sounds like.
Right.
We can teach the word, but when it's that still small voice,
that's right.
It's something that's experienced.
Yes. Your own relationship with the Father. And he has so much grace on us as we step out in obedience and humility and love. And the Father has so much grace and mercy on us. I mean, like, we have grace and mercy on our children. When we tell them to do something and they maybe don't do it perfectly the first time, that's okay, but they're trying, they're stepping out. And each time as they do it, they get a little better and a little better. And we just love that. As you know, parents, same for our Father, our Heavenly Father.
I think it's important to recognize that mercy that he has on us, because sometimes I think people are so scared. Right? It's the fear that really keeps us from stepping into, because it's sometimes it feels scary. Like your situation, and me too. My heart was beating. I was scared. We have all these thoughts of, what if it doesn't happen? You're going to make God look bad. But if God was so why would he ask us to do something that's going to make him look bad?
Right. This was exactly the same thing I had. I was like, I remember the enmity, like you said, enmity between the flesh and the spirit. The moment the voice is telling me to do something, Yeshua's spirit is saying, you need to go pray for this person. my flesh says no. Like, I don't want to do it. I'm scared. I don't want to look foolish. But who are we? And then our friends around us, when I go to ask other people who wants to go with me, they're like, well, what if God doesn't do?
Yeah.
And then, you know, what are you saying about him, right? He now then has this opportunity to be, is he the God that heals or is he the God that doesn't heal? And it's like, I can't change. I'm not the one healing. It's not me.
Nope.
It's not you prophesying. It's not, but he will defend himself, right?
Absolutely.
Exactly.
And this is what I'll add. You know, I've prayed for people who didn't get healed, right? And so when that happens, I'll tell you this, though. I've never seen it where I've prayed for someone and, you know, what I wanted to happen didn't happen.
Mm.
And that person is like, oh, I can't believe it. No, they are shocked that you have the faith to believe that your God can do such a thing.
Mm.
You know, one day I was speaking with a lady at a market, actually, at the Texas market. And she didn't know anything really about the Messiah at all. She grew up in a non-religious home. And I just asked her, hey, is there anything wrong with your body, like an issue? And she said, I believe she had an injury, a sports injury. And I just said, can I pray for you? And she said, yeah, sure. So I prayed for her. She couldn't test it out because it like comes and goes. So that's something that she could not say God healed. But she looked at me with wide eyes and she's like, who is your God?
Mm.
Who do you believe in? Mm-hmm. Like, and I had the opportunity to share the gospel, to share Jesus with her. And she was so interested because obviously I put myself out there to actually believe that he would do such a thing.
Loving kindness to her and love.
And showing that loving kindness. So even if they're not a believer, you praying is an act of love and kindness.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the Holy Spirit, and by the way, last thing I'll say, the Holy Spirit, even no matter what we want to see, the Holy Spirit comes and touches that person and he reveals himself to them. So,
yeah. No, it's not the last thing you're going to say. We're going to keep you talking.
Correction.
No. Yes, correction. No, this is so amazing. There's a young lady, young girl in our congregation. And one day she's in her special needs class at school and she sees her classmate having a seizure in a wheelchair, having a seizure. And in her very simple faith, she says, what's going on, right? And the teacher's like, please go sit down. You know, we're trying to deal with this young man who's having a seizure. And this is pretty recent in our congregation. And this young woman, young girl, goes up to the boy and says, in the name of Yeshua, be healed, and touched him on the head. Immediately, the young man stops having a seizure. The teacher says, who are you? And what was that name you just said?
Oh, wow.
and for the audience, you know, of course, this is Jesus, a Hebrew name. And it's through this simple faith that she just went, well, it doesn't stop there. He stopped having the seizure.
Wow.
He goes home. The next day, he comes back into class walking.
Oh,
wow.
No longer in a wheelchair.
What?
And
that's amazing.
And they are still like, I'm just like, everybody needs to know this story. I'm so glad I get to tell it because you sparked it in my mind to tell it. But like, this is today. And the Spirit is being poured out even more. Tell us about, like, you know, because it's like we think that this is an end. In, you know,
right.
Like, is there going to be a revival of the Spirit in these times?
Mm.
You know, and are you, is there? Is it happening? I think it is.
We're seeing it happen.
We're seeing it happen.
Absolutely.
And you're seeing it happen.
Absolutely. You know, and here's the thing. Some people would say, maybe someone while listening to this, and they're like, well, I'm not seeing it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and this is, I want to hit home with this, is that this is really a call for believers. When Yeshua, you know, ascended, you know, what is the purpose of his ascension?
Mm-hmm.
Because he could have, as they expected, you know, the disciples, they expected that he would just set up his kingdom right there and then, rule from Jerusalem, and that's that. But he ascends, and they're shocked by that. Why are you going? Why are you leaving us? And he says, it's okay. I'm sending the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to be with you, but I must ascend for that to happen so that you can be empowered by him and continue what I have done now through all of my people, becoming temples, bringing the Spirit into the world to people so they can encounter the Messiah. And so that means that my purpose here, your purpose, like each of our purposes here, is to be a temple and is to continue what Yeshua did in the flesh. And if we don't do that, and we can only do that by the Spirit, not by our own abilities, if we don't do that, we're really missing a huge part of why he died. Because he died, we know why he died. He died for our sins. But that's half of it. Because when he was pierced, blood came out for the remission of sins, out of his side, but water also came out. Which we know, and at the Feast of Tabernacles, he stood up and said, if you come, if you're thirsty and you drink of me, there will come a living water out of you too. And he said this about the Spirit. So he was pierced so the Spirit may be poured out upon us now, making us clean for that. So that means that if we don't step in and allow the Spirit to move like a river through us, then he is not going to. And so it is dependent upon our circles, our denomination, our church. And so that means that we have, like I was a little guy, there's no one around me, but I saw it and I went after it in that desire. And then he heard my cry.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to.
That's right. Yeah, I truly believe if you are sitting in a church and that says, we don't do that, guess what? You don't do that. and because you're not asking, you're not seeking, and you don't have the belief to break through those walls. So he will use those who have an open hand and who say, use me. If your hand's closed and you're said, I don't do that, then I don't. Then you don't.
Right.
You have to say yes, and you have to come to the table. You have to take steps and go towards it.
Right.
Absolutely. And let me say that we are all very concerned about our youth, right?
Yes.
We're concerned about what's happening, how many of them are falling away, grew up in believing households. And this is what they need, because they are tired of hypocrisy that they have seen in the church.
Amen.
And they're looking for an authenticity, which can only come by the Spirit of authenticity, the Holy Spirit of God. And this is what we are seeing. Like this year, me and my wife had the honor of going to some youth camps, and I told her afterwards, I have not seen the Holy Spirit move in my life, the magnitude of way that he has moved to these camps, because the children are coming forward, teenagers, with childlike faith, and they're just coming forward. They heard the word. They're walking forward, and they're saying, I have this, I have that, and they're getting healed, they're getting delivered.
Praise the Lord.
In a moment like that, just like that. And their peers see it. Their peers saw the brace on the leg for the whole week, and then that weekend comes, and it comes off. And it's like, how do you explain that? You cannot. And that is what they need to see, because now they encounter.
He's real.
We start praying over each other as well. We see groups of teenagers praying for each other, and it's beautiful, absolutely beautiful.
Yeah. Share about that one gentleman who said, I've just been watching all of this.
Oh, yeah, shame. As PD was praying and other people were praying over some of these teenagers that were coming forward, there was this one fellow, he's probably about 15, 16, he was just sitting on the side, just watching everything, very quiet, very silent. But at the end, as the crowd was starting to disperse a bit, he came up to Petey, just his face just in shock and surprise and just wonder. He said, I've never seen anything like this in my entire life. And I've never felt such peace just sitting here, just watching this. Wow. And it was just that moment of, he experienced God's presence, God's love for his peers and for him as well. And this is what God is calling all of us to be doorways of his love.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
I got to serve at a camp last year, and while I was with the children, they sang these songs. They were so instrumental. They were music, like the music talent in this generation was amazing, and I just heard them singing. And as I heard them singing, it's like I saw in the Spirit, like the throne room, and it's just like, this generation is special. Mm. They are being attacked so heavily because of how special they are. And I'm just like, wow, it's cool that you guys are ministering to the children. We have five. We have five kids, and our oldest being 16, our youngest being 7. And we're, you know, I would say we are afraid. We're not afraid. We're not afraid and fearful. We understand who God is, and we will fight against the principalities, but we understand that the electronics and this generation, we are probably the most advertised to programmed. I mean, we open a can of soda and like an endorphin goes off in our head that says, oh, sugar, right? Like, how do you beat that? And the spirit and the gifts that Yeshua can break through all that and show and reveal himself and make himself real to this generation. And I think you're right. You're absolutely right. They're hungry for truth. And sometimes we're not given it. We're the ones who aren't teaching. Our as parents, are we teaching them that you know, that he can heal? He's the answer for everything. Are we
walking as an example to them? Mm-hmm. You know, what reminded me of, you know, what you just said is in the scriptures, when Israel is in bondage to Pharaoh in Egypt, and, you know, and even before that, you know, just as Moses is coming on the scene, we see that Pharaoh is going after all the babies, right? And he's throwing them to the alligators, and he's throwing them to the rivers. And so that is a spiritual assault, obviously it's a spiritual war, on something that was coming on the scene that God was doing. Mm-hmm. So what was that? Moses was the one whom God was birthing into the world to ultimately lead Israel out of the bondage of Egypt. And what if this generation is really trying to be thrown into the river by the principalities of today because something is being birthed into this world, that God is doing something? And what if it's not just a Moses, but what if it is many babies being born for a time like this to lead God's people out of Egypt, out of the world, to a place where they can worship him, to a place that is ultimately then the promised land. Mm. And if you think now about what Moses did, how Moses did it, he obviously on that path received the Torah, God's instructions, and that's beautiful. But before that, he demonstrated God's wonders to Pharaoh, to Egypt, to Israel, the mixed multitude. And that's what caused them to see, this God of Israel, I want to follow him. And then they came to Mount Sinai receiving the truth. So sometimes I think we've proclaimed the truth, the commandments, which are holy, righteous, and good, but we have not shown the love of God and demonstrated his wonders, drawing them out of Egypt to a place where they are ready to receive that from Mount Sinai.
Amen.
Right. It makes me go back. I think of a Torah. It's Deuteronomy. Oh, I'm going to get the chapter wrong. Don't let me get the address right. Okay, so he said, it says, it talks about the false prophet in Deuteronomy. And what does it look like, right? And it's like they will do signs and wonders. And when these signs and wonders come to pass, we still need to go, we need to put this against the word of God. So, I mean, just to say, hey, signs and wonders are a sign that get your attention. But then we must listen to the words, right? Because if they're teaching you to not do, to keep the words of these books of Moses, right? If they teach you not to do that, then we know he's a false prophet. And so Mashiach comes. And he does the signs and wonders, but he also tells you to keep the words of this book, right? Yeah. And he doesn't tell you, I did that and it's gone. We don't need to do that anymore. Right. Had he done that, he would have disqualified himself as Mashiach, right? So there it says, in our last days, there's going to be many false messiahs to come, right? There's going to be all these who say, oh, he's over here, he's over there. And so when we go around and we, as the body, are doing the signs and wonders, mm-hmm. we also must couple that with keep his word, yes. put him back into the Bible. Yes. And then that's it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, because that's the litmus test that right. it's like, I think there's a lot of, we say, you know, the healing is mm-hmm. denominational, right? Right. Mm-hmm. There seems to be one denomination that, yeah. that goes out and they're trying to do, mm-hmm. and they are. And I think a lot of healings come from these ministries. But are we turning to the book? Are we turning to the Messiah? Or are we turning to the person who's doing the work? Because it was fun. It's not the work. It's not you who's doing the work, but it's him who's Absolutely. In us, right?
Right. So that means I will lead. I will lead others then to him and his word, mm-hmm. and yeah. teach mm-hmm. them. And that's what the mm-hmm. this is what the Father's doing. So we've been talking about the Holy Spirit a lot, mm-hmm. and that's wonderful. And I love what you're bringing in now, because yeah. the restoration that I believe he's doing in the world is not just another charismatic movement, mm-hmm. which I mean that can be beautiful, but it's a spirit truth mm-hmm. movement.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
it is the worshipers of spirit and truth. Both. We have people who are really on fire and passionate about the word and teaching it properly, understanding it properly.
Right.
But not one at the cost of the other, and open to the Holy Spirit and allowing the Holy Spirit to move. And that's something that I think, you know, has really been slowly coming and growing. It's something that wasn't the first century we see on a large scale, but then through the ages, much of that has kind of been has been between denominations, and we've right. kind of missed each other. Like, this denomination has something right here, this one has something right there, but we kind of don't agree on other things, and then we kind of miss the big picture of what God has given us. And maybe that's a call to unity.
Yes.
Maybe that's I need to learn something from you, and you need to learn something from me, and then there is we can be brothers in Christ together, and we can iron sharpen iron.
Yes, yeah. It's the house of Judah, the house of Israel, mm. in unity. You talked about the Samaritan woman.
Yes.
Tell me more.
Yeah. Well, I love that, because I think that moment when Jesus is at the well, right, and the Samaritan woman is there, and you know he's not allowed to speak to her, right, because she's a Samaritan, and there's a lot of racial tension, a lot of religious tension, a lot of
sure.
tension between these nations, and she's a woman too. There's that as well.
That's a cultural thing.
Yeah, yeah. Cultural mm-hmm. issue. So he's breaking a lot of barriers in that moment. But not only that, he's having a theological discussion with her, mm-hmm. right? Because she's talking about, you know, this is the place, right? She's asking him, right? Where should we worship? Right? Where should the temple ultimately be? This place of worship. And Yeshua says, there's coming a time when it won't be on this mountain or that mountain, Mount Gerizim or this or that place, but my Father's calling worshipers of spirit and truth. And so, and that really reveals the heart and the purpose of the Messiah, where he is building temples in his people, where they are going to go into, and God is building a temple in Walmart. God is building a temple in the classroom where that child was and prayed.
Wherever
you
go.
Or in the caves where you went. Mm-hmm. Like, that is where the temple of God, because that is where God, where people will then encounter him and come and find his spirit and truth. But we have to manifest. We have to be a temple of spirit and truth, worship in spirit and truth.
Mm-hmm.
Right, the truth of God's word from beginning to end, and the Holy Spirit walking as Yeshua walked in all the ways.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I never really thought of that story like that. I mean, kind of like understanding that there is a time when the second century temple and was going to be destroyed. And so the question is sort of obsolete. You know, that's what I never thought about
exactly,
it like that.
Exactly.
It's like the question's like, well,
he didn't answer the question.
Yeah, no.
Really?
That was interesting.
It's not that it's not an important question.
Yeah.
But he knew that there was a change that was coming.
Yeah, I've seen people take the angles of, like, you know, she's worshiping, like, well, Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. Of course, we know that they pronounced the blessings and the cursings on these two, but there was never really a commandment to stay here, because it's sort of like they got stuck. Like, I always felt like they got stuck. Well, you should have just kept following. I don't know why you stayed at this mountain, you know. And but then were the Samaritans attacked by the lions, or?
Well, the history of the Samaritans, right, is that they were people from the nations that Nebuchadnezzar brought in to that area to replace the children that were taken into exile. And because they weren't worshiping Hashem in truth, they were serving other idols, they were vulnerable because they're in Hashem's land. They were vulnerable, and lions were coming in and killing
them. Remember, the lions were attacking them. Yeah.
And the only way to solve that was for them to go and find a Levitical priest and find how to worship Hashem in truth. And when they were shown how to do that, the lion attacks ceased. And that's part of the history of the Samaritans.
So they have an encounter with God.
Yeah, I mean, if you think what happens then is, right, he tells the Samaritan woman about all of her, you know, many husbands. And the one you're with now is not your husband, he says. And she, by that word of knowledge, which is a spiritual gift.
Right.
Sure. So that's worship in spirit right there. Mm-hmm. And he being the truth, the Messiah, she goes as a woman, and she becomes that first evangelist to Samaria.
Yeah.
And she says, you know, he has arrived. He told me all these things about my life. He wasn't supposed to know. He's here. And so what does that tell us? That spirit and truth worship breaks down all of the cultural barriers, all of the, whatever, whether it's racial, whether it's gender, because all of it was all the issues you can think about, really, was being, he was going after that right there. And so when we worship in spirit and truth, we don't have to worry about all of these barriers that we may have between people. If we worship in spirit and truth, God will take care of that because the love of God is greater than all.
Yeah. I know when we encounter people who believe in our God, who walk in the Spirit, it's like you can feel it, you sense it, you know it. Like I knew it when I saw you. I was like, oh, you know, this is family. And I think that when we encounter cultures who aren't used to that, they feel it too. Mm. They know your sincerity. They know you're true. And I'm so glad you came on the show. It's exciting. Tell us more. we have time to keep going. And so, but you came all the way here to West Texas. Obviously, the Lord wants your message to be heard. You said yes. Like you have been training yourself to do and hearing and doing. There's something else. Like tell me one more thing what the Lord's doing. Tell us about your some of your recent books that you're writing and your podcasts, and tell the audience how they can get in touch with you as well. And everybody listening, please write this down, get your pen, however it is that you memorize it, get it and make sure that you support this ministry.
Oh, thank you so much. It's an honor to be here with you guys, yeah. Really. Well, if anyone is interested in, like, really this whole topic that we've been talking about here today, I wrote a book. It's called Reigniting Spirit and Truth.
Amen.
And this book, you can get it on paperback, ebook, you can listen to it as an audiobook, or free PDF, downloaded it. We want it to go out. And, you know, this book, I divided the book into worship in truth and worship in spirit. So by the end of it all, you know, I think that no matter who you are, what denomination you come from or your background, like there's going to be something for you that's going to really be a blessing to learn, whether it's to walk in the truth in a deeper way or the Holy Spirit. And if you want to visit our website, you can go to riseonfire.com, or you can watch our YouTube teachings at riseonfire at YouTube. You can just search it right there.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, we got to get a copy of the book.
Absolutely. Yes.
And then we'll probably have to send it to you to get a signed one. No. And then you can send it back. But this has been, it's been so special to have you. May the Father just continue to bless you. And May all those who come into contact with your ministry, may they all just come away with a deeper understanding of what the Spirit and the power of the Spirit, mm-hmm. and that this power of the Spirit didn't stop, mm-hmm. and that it's not just stopped, it's more so even today. He said that you will do all these things that I've done and more, which is crazy to think. We think that you know, who can do greater than Mashiach? But all his bride, when we are yielding to his Spirit, empowered by his Spirit and his word, if you can imagine, a husband wants to bless his bride and give her not only what he has, but everything that she deserves and more, right? Mashiach wants that for his bride, which is us. And no matter, she is adorned with so much. And if we can live and operate and pray in that truth, understanding who we are, yeah. right? You're a superhero. Like, I don't know. Do you know what I mean? It's like our kids, my kids like watching comics.
Where did they get that? Where did Marvel get that idea?
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Ultimately, that is a worldly perspective.
Uh-huh. That's right.
That is really uh-huh. going after that desire in each of yes. each human being to walk as he walked, which he did the impossible.
Amen. Mm. And we know our Messiah is returning. Our bridegroom is returning, and looking for an equally yoked bride, a bride who is walking as he walked. Mm-hmm. And so, in as we've been talking about, in the truth, in obedience to his Father's commandments, mm-hmm. and then also walking in the Holy Spirit, bringing freedom. As we know in Luke 4, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to bring freedom, to set the captives free.
Amen.
Are we also doing that? Are we becoming an equally yoked bride?
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, everyone, for this, for tuning in to GLC and this episode of The Light of the Southwest. We wouldn't be here without you, and we look forward to seeing you again on the next show. And Holly, was there any last words?
Thank you all so much for tuning in and for having open hearts and open ears to what the Father wants to pour into your life. You are a special, called out people set apart for such a time as this. Open up the word, connect to the Father in prayer, and just like they said, receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Receive the gifts and be the beautiful, adorned bride, chaste, pure, holy, ready for the return of our bridegroom, Yeshua HaMashiach. We love you all. We're so blessed to be a part of this beautiful family. Thank you for joining us on Light of the Southwest. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We are so blessed to have you.
Amen. Bye. Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom. Thank you.